this is breaking down this verse, First John chapter 4, verse 18. And let me begin by reading the context of this verse, because my job for this symposium is to just be the introduction. Okay, there's an introduction because it's a simple statement. There is no fear in love. Okay, what does that mean? Once we get that, then the other brethren are going to tell you the practicality and what that brings us to. So we're going to start with the context, 1 John 4, 15 through 19. Whoever confesses, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, incidentally. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know that and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. And now the theme verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. And then verse 19, we love because he first loved us. And that really ends up being a big key to this whole thing. So, there is no fear in love. The word for fear is the Greek word 5401, means phobos, and it means alarm or fright. Now, when we look at this word, what we're going to find immediately is that it's used in a couple of, in very seemingly contradictory ways. John 20, verse 19 says, then when the doors were shut, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. So they were afraid of the Jews. They had the doors locked in the room. They didn't want to have access to them. Leave us alone. Then in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So you have this first fear that says, stay away from us. And the second is, they're walking in the fear of the Lord, and that's a good thing. Same word, completely different sense of it. Let's look at reprint 4881, because Brother Russell makes this really simple. And we want to take this short paragraph and sort of make it the baseline for this entire discussion. And he's talking about this word for fear and this verse, there is no fear in love. Better expressed could have been the thought of the text by saying, there is no dread in love. We do not dread that which we love. In one sense, however, the more we love, the more we fear. We would not be so careful about pleasing a person whom we do not thus love. This is not the kind of fear, however, that the apostle wishes to cast out. On the contrary, it should be much enhanced. Consequently, the word dread would more accurately express the thought of our text. So as we go through this for the next few minutes, we're going to use the word dread in the space of fear. And the point from Brother Russell is that we are not afraid of the Lord and trying to hide, but we have this deep, reverential fear of the Lord. And that's good because it's a driving force forward. So there is no dread in love. There's nothing to be running away and hiding from in love. But the fear we have for the Lord has to have that sense of the reverence with which we approach him. So let's get to our verses now. In John 4, 7 through 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So that's the first point. The first point to put this in perspective is God is love. Simple point we all know. Second point, the verse right before our theme text adds a dimension to the fact that God is love. In 1 John 4, 19 through 20, right after our theme text, rather, we love because he loved us first. please understand the power of following the pattern that has been given to us. We love because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, then he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. We love because God showed us how. The third point in putting this in context before we get to practicality is simple. We've got God as love. God loved us first. And the third point is God is our Father. Matthew 6, 7 through 9, verses that you all know very, very well. Don't use meaningless repetitions as praying as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they'll be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. We recite the Lord's Prayer frequently, and sometimes we forget to recite that verse before the Lord's Prayer. He knows what you have need of before you ask him. You don't dread someone who knows what you have need of. You love them. You have respect for them. And then Jesus says, pray in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Three basic points. God is love. He loved us first, and he's our Father. So now we get to the practicality of this. Let's look at some examples of how to live the there is no dread in love teaching of this verse. We're going to look through the eyes of prophecy at Jesus at some difficult things to illustrate what the right kind of fear of the Lord is and how it's not dread. There's no fear. There is no dread in love. Three points. First point is acceptance. Simple. Humbly accepting whatever experiences are to come to us as disciples of Christ. If we look at Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 5, again, verses that you are very familiar with. It's a picture of Jesus. It's prophetically looking at him as our example and as our ransom price. Isaiah 50 verses 4 through 5. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I will not be disobedient, nor did I turn back. So this is Jesus being sent. Jesus was sent by the Heavenly Father, and in his delight to do God's will, he humbly and openly accepted all that was necessary and all that was to come. The acceptance is, I'm accepting the mission to move forward and accomplish that which you are sending me to do. There is no dread in that. Was his mission easy? No. And these verses that we're going to go through are going to reveal that to us. So when we look at this, there's the acceptance. How do we keep our love for God out of the context of dreading? By recognizing that we need to be accepting of him because he knows what we need before we ask. So in relation to Jesus being sent, Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19, as Jesus, and I'm going to shorten a few of the verses in the interest of time, as Jesus took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and on the way, he said to them, behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day he will be raised up. Jesus was accepting. There is no fear. There is no dread in love. He said, we're going there so this can happen. He's not afraid of it, even though it would be the most tormenting experience that any of us could ever possibly imagine. So we can see his acceptance. Do we humbly and openly accept all that's necessary that's to come our way to accomplish our mission? Quick example of this, Acts 21, 10 to 13. A prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands. And he said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In the way the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we had heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging begging the Apostle Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. We're begging him, don't go. What's the apostle's response? Then Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready to not only be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm going. I am accepting what has just been prophesied. He's showing us there is no fear. There is no dread in love. And God is love. And what he draws from us is important. The second point after accepting simply is to receive. Humbly receiving the hard requirements of our mission as disciples when they come. Humbly receiving the hard requirements. To love God is to willingly submit to injustice, to pain, and persecution, and come what may. Back to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. Speaking of Jesus, I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Prophetically, those words were said, and in reality, they were lived by our Lord on the road to crucifixion. Jesus gave himself over to persecution and humiliation. Why? Because the sufferings were of little value in relation to his purpose and mission. His mission was hard. But for Jesus, there was no fear. There was no dread in the love of God. With the difficulty before him, it didn't deter him in one moment. We get to the reality, the fulfillment of that. We look at John 19, 8 to 11. And Pilate said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you? And Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Do you see the fearlessness in accomplishing the mission of love that would cost everything? There is no fear. There is no dread in love. Do we, brethren, humbly receive the hard requirements of our mission as they come? Do we look to Jesus? Hebrews 12, 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You can see the end result, and you can see easily there where it says there is no fear, there is no dread in love. It's easy to say that in the glory stage. We are not in a glory stage. We are in the developmental stage, and we want to adopt this principle of not having fear or dread in love. Our final point, first we accept, secondly we receive, thirdly we embrace. Humbly embrace Christ-like behavior, even in the midst of what has to come. Back to Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Let's get it straight. The man Christ Jesus is hanging on a cross, utterly humiliated before everyone. And the prophecy describes his heart is saying, I set my face like a flint. I am not ashamed. Because there is no fear, there is no dread in love, in God's love through the hard things. Looking at the example very quickly, just the practicality of part of that experience, Luke 22, 49 to 53. When those who were around him saw that what was going to happen, this is in the garden when Judas is betraying him, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them, we know it was Peter, struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, stop. No more of this. and he touched his ear and he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and to the officers of the temple and the elders who had come against him, "Have you come out with swords and with clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is the hour and the power of darkness are yours." Brethren, do we embrace that kind of Christ-like behavior in the midst of our hardest experiences with the humble acquiescence that Jesus used? Are we willing to put ourselves in that kind of position? Our final text for ourselves, Romans 8, 31 to 35. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? You can stop right there and take that text and carry it through every single experience of our lives that draw us to potentially dread. If God's for us, what does anything else matter? But the apostle goes further, as the apostle is so good at doing. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Brethren, what can possibly separate us from the love of God through Christ? God is love. Our experiences are difficult. He gives them to us so that we can grow in Christ to be faithful unto death. There is no fear. There is no dread in love.